I'm Steve Cole. This is KDNK Carbondale. Good morning. It is Monday, March 13th, 2017. On Sunday night, emergency responders found 24-year-old Angelo Mowry in the carriageway exit of the Base Village parking garage in Snowmass Village. Mr. Mowry was unresponsive and appeared to have fallen 30 feet. According to Mr. Mowry's Facebook page, he was originally from New Jersey and had been living in Denver. The Picken County Sheriff reports he was transported to Vespin Valley Hospital, where he was pronounced dead. The case is still under investigation. No foul play is suspected. Most scientists disagree with new Environmental Protection Agency Chief Scott Pruitt's claims that climate change may not be caused by human activity and CO2 emissions. Here's more from Eric Alanis.
Folks in the scientific community are scratching their heads over comments made by the new head of the Environmental Protection Agency. Scott Pruitt, sworn in as EPA administrator just weeks ago, told reporters on Thursday that carbon dioxide is not a major source of global warming, and he questions human activity as a culprit. Emma Spett with Environment Colorado says there's a serious disconnect between Pruitt and scientific consensus.
97% of scientists agree that climate change is a human-caused issue, that the emissions that we are putting into the atmosphere are causing our climate to change more rapidly than it ever has before.
With Pruitt in charge of the agency tasked with protecting the public's air and water, Spett says he could set the nation back in the struggle to mitigate against the most catastrophic effects of climate change. Pruitt's remarks are being countered, for the most part, by scientists, environmentalists, and the former head of the EPA. Pruitt did note that continued analysis on climate change is needed. A professor of Earth Systems Science at Stanford University, Noah Diffenbaugh, says in order to build resilience to protect Americans from climate stresses, there also must be acknowledgement from the top that the climate is changing.
The good news is that we have a lot of opportunities to create win-wins, to create infrastructure and resource management systems, how we manage our water and agriculture and other resources in ways that protect ourselves from climate change now and make us more prepared for the future.
Pruitt's comments are in line with President Donald Trump's take on the issue. Trump has described climate change as a hoax and promised on the campaign trail to roll back policies he sees as overregulation, even as they curb pollution that spurs climate change. For KDNK, I'm Eric Galatis.
A fire at a future natural gas drilling site in Bettelmann Mesa last week is causing some concern among residents. Post Independent reports that the fire occurred Wednesday evening after Summit Midstream, which is laying a pipeline between two yet-to-be-built natural gas well pads, injected grout into a borehole. This is the third reported incident to occur at the site. Since January, Summit crews have twice bored into underground water sources, causing floods. Also on Wednesday, the Garfield County Planning Commission voted 5-2 in favor of recommending approval of a zoning change that would allow for one wastewater injection well on a well pad inside the Bettelmann Mesa PUD. Basalt High School welcomes the addition of a peace garden thanks to the efforts of junior Mauricio Sosa. Here he talks to KDNK News intern Raleigh Burley about the project.
My project began almost 2 years ago when I saw a need for a place where students could go when they were having a bad day or being bullied. The past 2 years I've been fundraising, writing grants, and working with landscaping companies to create and develop a place where students could go when they're having a bad day. The spring of last year, 2016, we actually built the garden.
What gave you the idea? Had you seen this project, a peace garden, done before?
I had not seen the idea of a peace garden, but it was brought up to me by a counselor at Basalt High School, and I just wanted to create a place where students could go when they were having a bad day, and that's where we got the idea of creating a peace garden. So we have a few drought-tolerant plants throughout the garden, but most of it is a rock landscape, like with little river pebbles.
Have you seen it used quite a bit by your fellow classmates?
I have seen students and teachers go out and have lunch or go out during a class period to do work outside.
And is this garden complete now?
Well, like the physical garden is complete, but our fundraising, we are still needing to raise around $4,000.
What is that going to go towards?
The $4,000 is going to pay the landscaping company who helped create the peace garden and who put the physical labor into creating the garden. We agreed that we would pay him off as we received the money.
What kind of things are you doing to raise the money?
We are writing grants to several organizations. We've also launched a GoFundMe campaign where anyone can go and donate. GoFundMe.com/thepeacegarden.
How have you felt that this project has been for you as an individual? Has it had a big impact on your life?
The Peace Garden has helped me in many ways, in the sense of I learned many business tactics, such as like running and operating a budget, and as well as not only getting my voice be heard or not being afraid to ask for help, and as well as helping me figure out different ways of fundraising for different projects that I might do in the future.
How much money did you have to raise for the garden?
The total budget for the Peace Garden is a $40,000 budget. The landscaping company, Toasted Tree, gave $20,000 in-kind donations by doing it at cost. We also have different organizations that help with major grants, such as the Five Point Film Dream Festival. We have the Aston Thrift Store, Snowmass Chapel, the Shush Foundation, Town of Basalt, and there's many more that have helped. I hope that throughout the years it's being used, and thank you for everyone that's helped with the project.
Mauricio Sosa is accepting donations for the Basalt High School Peace Garden at GoFundMe.com. State lawmakers are halfway through the annual legislative session. Some bills have been passed and signed by the governor, but the task of funding transportation is still on the table. And as Benta Berkland reports, both Democrats and Republicans back a tax increase that could reach voters this fall.
Late last year, and prior to the January start of the session, I asked two key lawmakers if 2017 would be the year they find more money for the state's aging and outdated transportation system.
Prior to the election, I convened a group of legislators in leadership to start talking about transportation funding specifically. I'm hopeful that we will be able to come up with a statewide transportation plan this session.
Would you consider referring something to voters and letting voters decide whether they'd want to raise the gas tax or come up with some other revenue stream?
If there is going to be a long-term solution to transportation infrastructure, it's going to almost certainly require something that the voters are going to have to weigh in on.
That was Republican Senate President Kevin Grantham and Democratic Speaker of the House Chrisanta Duran. They're now main sponsors of a bill that would ask voters to increase the state sales tax by a little more than a half cent for the next 20 years.
Do I want to pay a little bit more so that the government's doing what they should actually be doing?
House Bill 1142 would bring in close to $700 million to start, and the state could bond against that for up to $3.5 billion. The money would go towards priority road projects, as well as making funding available to local governments for transit, roads, trails, potholes. But first, Grantham has to convince other Republicans to place the measure on the ballot. He says it won't be easy. For starters, the proposal wouldn't be revenue neutral in the first year, as many in his party had wanted.
We strove to get there, but if we're actually going to get into the project list and actually do something, revenue neutral was a difficult place to be. We tried to get some offsets in there.
And that includes reducing vehicle registration fees and fines that motorists pay. But it's still not enough for many in the GOP who oppose tax increases. That's why Senate Majority Leader Chris Hulbert of Parker says he's already going to vote no.
For me, as a conservative from conservative Douglas County, looking for a new equation, finding a way if some want to raise a tax to repeal, reduce other taxes.
House Republicans have also pledged to aggressively oppose the measure, saying the state needs to reprioritize the existing budget before asking for more money from voters.
You've got a collision course between broadly recognized needs and an ideological fixation with no taxes.
That's Colorado State University political science professor John Strayer.
And those things, they divide the parties. They have done that for a long time.
Strayer says he's not surprised some members of the GOP are splitting off. Still, he says with outside groups like the Colorado Union of Taxpayers and Americans for Prosperity opposing it, it's no slam dunk.
I may be a little surprised if this thing all works out and we do something.
Meanwhile, some Democrats worry there's not enough money for transit in the bill, and the tax is regressive. Transportation has become the central theme of this session. The Colorado Department of Transportation estimates a $9 billion funding shortfall over the next decade. Governor John Hickenlooper says he's glad the discussion will no longer be behind the scenes.
This is something the state needs, and I don't think it should be a partisan issue.
Beyond transportation funding, Hickenlooper hopes lawmakers can also make progress on reforming construction defects laws to make it easier to build condos and provide more housing options. But he says he'll likely veto legislation like bipartisan efforts to give local communities more control in regulating private pot clubs and allowing home delivery for recreational and medical marijuana.
Given the uncertainty in Washington, this is not the time, this isn't the year to be out reaching for trying to carve off new turf and expand markets and make dramatic statements about marijuana.
More than 400 bills have been introduced so far this session, and regardless if lawmakers come together on the transportation issue, they do need to find common ground on the last major item of the session, passing a balanced budget. It's the only thing lawmakers are constitutionally required to do. I'm Benta Berkland at the State Capitol.